On the west coast of the United States, enormous trucks with an 80,000-pound weight capacity are moving cargo between Long Beach and the Port of Los Angeles, enough times to rack up 200 miles of travel per day. The kicker? These trucks produce no local emissions. I'm Jonathan Strickland, and this is Tech Stuff Daily. The trucks are part of Toyota's fuel cell initiative. Fuel cells rely upon a chemical reaction between different elements that produces, among other things, electricity. In this way, it's similar to a chemical battery. But with fuel cells, you fill up, or refuel, the cell with more of the elements to generate more electricity. It's a system you can open up, rather than a battery that is supposed to remain a closed system. The ingredients that give the trucks their oomph are hydrogen and oxygen. Hydrogen is the most plentiful element in the universe. Oxygen, as you may recall, is one of those gases that's really important to organic critters such as ourselves. Putting the two together in the right combination creates good old H2O, water, in other words. And so here we have a power system that takes hydrogen and oxygen and produces electricity, water, and heat. So what's actually going on? Inside a fuel cell, you have a permeable membrane that will allow hydrogen ions to pass through, but not electrons. An ion is an atom that has either gained or lost an electron, changing the net charge of the atom. A special catalyst on the membrane facilitates this process with hydrogen, stripping it of its electron and preventing it from passing through this membrane. Since a hydrogen atom consists of only one proton and one electron, that means we're left with a proton, the positively charged subatomic particle. This particle can pass through the membrane. On the other side of the fuel cells are oxygen atoms. Meanwhile, those electrons on the hydrogen side of the fuel cell want to get away from each other. This is Coulomb's law. Like charges repel one another, and opposite charges attract. Opening up a pathway for the electrons to follow where they can reunite with their proton buddies allows you to create a circuit. Put an electrical load on that circuit, such as a motor capable of providing enough force to move a big cargo truck, and you can put those electrons to work. When they reach the other side, you end up with water molecules, two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen per molecule. Sounds great, right? You have these big trucks hauling cargo around without generating carbon dioxide or methane emissions or any other greenhouse gases, with the exception of water vapor. You're using what is literally the most abundant source of fuel in the universe. And unlike gasoline, you're not burning anything to produce power. You're facilitating a chemical reaction. So, if fuel cells can generate electrical energy, powering a motor just like a battery would, why aren't we all driving around in fuel cell vehicles right now? What's the holdup? There are actually several big challenges. Perhaps the biggest challenge is getting hold of hydrogen. Yes, I said it's the most plentiful element in the universe, and it's true, but it's also really a friendly atom. Hydrogen just wants to buddy up with all sorts of stuff, particularly carbon. You probably heard of hydrocarbons. What that means for us is that most of the hydrogen we can get our hands on is already locked up molecularly with other stuff. Now, we can free up that hydrogen so we can use it for something else, but breaking molecular bonds requires energy. You could easily end up spending more energy trying to create hydrogen fuel than you'd be able to take advantage of once you'd fueled up your fuel cells. It'd be a net loss from an energy perspective, which means it would make more sense to pursue some other form or means of generating power. Another issue is economical. Let's say we found a really efficient way to get hold of hydrogen so that energy issue isn't a problem. We'd still need to build out an infrastructure that could support fleets of fuel cell vehicles. We'd need hydrogen refueling stations, and those wouldn't come cheap. The most efficient way to store hydrogen in terms of space is in liquid form. You'd have to get it down to minus 423 degrees Fahrenheit or minus 253 degrees Celsius for hydrogen to turn into a liquid. That's just 20 Kelvin over absolute zero. You wouldn't just pour liquid hydrogen into your car, though. For one thing, as soon as the hydrogen left its pressurized, temperature-controlled storage tank, it would boil and turn back into gas. You'd fill up your fuel cell with a special pump that could put the gas form of hydrogen in to the right pressure. A special connector between the fuel cell vehicle and the pump would monitor the fuel needs precisely. All of this would cost more money. Ultimately, we're talking about an investment in the billions of dollars. There are other considerations to make, too. For example, while the cars themselves would produce no local emissions, the process of harvesting and transporting hydrogen might be a different story. Some of the elements of fuel cells, such as the platinum catalysts, are themselves rare and expensive. It's a big-picture problem. In the meantime, Toyota is testing these vehicles out in California, and it may turn out that fuel cell vehicles are the way to go in certain specialized applications, such as shipping. Other companies, like Tesla, are exploring electric vehicles that run on battery power. No matter which strategy wins out in the end, we'll see fewer local greenhouse gas emissions coming from vehicles on the road. That's all for today. To learn more about fuel cells and all other things tech, subscribe to the Tech Stuff Podcast. It's a long-form show that publishes twice a week and looks at all sorts of tech topics. I'll see you again soon.